we're the children of God. God says, I'm not sharing you with anybody. I'm not sharing you with the world. You know, that's a good word for the church today, because see, we are the bride of Christ, and boy, there are many, many suitors out there that want your children, that want your marriage, that want your family. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello again. We are so pleased you've tuned in as we begin a new week of Bible study. Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians continues today with the message, The Cost of Tolerance. Let's listen in.
Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 11. We're just about finished with this great epistle. One of my favorites, as I say every time, revealing the heart, the broken heart of Paul, more than any other of his epistles. This morning, we're in chapter 11. In chapter 10, we talked about warfare, Paul did, and about spiritual authority. And there was a point in the last that where Paul literally asked his secretary or the copyist, he took the pen out of the hand. He says, no, I'm writing these. These last chapters that we cover are really some of the saddest in Paul's writing. And I know that his heart is broken. He's defending himself this time against the ministers of Satan, those who have entered the church at Corinth, who are challenging his apostolic authority, even his own character. And so when we look at this morning, I believe that this is the Christian's greatest battle. And it's also Paul's greatest battle, because the greatest deceiver, the wicked one, has gained entrance into the church at Corinth. I'm going to talk to you about the cost of tolerance from these 21 verses that I pray that you really take into your heart. And not only that, when we talk about tolerance, that's a word that's really tossed around a lot today, isn't it? Oh, man, everywhere. But, you know, the word tolerant is, we're going to find out in this scripture or in these verses, it means to put up with something. It means, you know, I tolerate you and so forth. And I put up with something or endure something and so forth. Now, the endurance is a good thing. It's a biblical quality, characteristic. Amen? But when we come to this chapter here, let me remind you that we live in a world today that's like no other world in my lifetime that I've ever seen. Everything has changed. There's been a complete flip-flop in our nation and around the world. The world now tells us, you have to tolerate us. Listen, we're to love the world, not love the things of the world, but love the people of the world like Jesus did. Amen? However, the world that we live in now, they're commanding all people to be tolerant of one another, except when it comes to Israel and when it comes to the church or to the Christian. Listen, the cost of tolerance, there are some things that the Christian cannot tolerate. And if you do, it'll cost you. I pray that he who hath ears to hear this morning, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Amen. The cost of tolerance, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me, Paul writes, just with a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. So Paul, he begins tenderly. He loves this church at Corinth, even though they're siding, many of them, with these false teachers who are ministers of the devil, all right? And he says, listen, let me be foolish just for a moment. Would you bear with me? That word literally means, would you put up with me? Would you tolerate me just a little bit? Paul says, because really, he could have added, because you're tolerating all those false apostles, surely you can tolerate me, you can bear with me. For I am jealous for you, not jealous of you, I'm jealous for you, and look at the kind of jealousy, godly jealousy, that which originates from heaven, which originates from the heart of God the Father. He says, you know, that godly jealousy, and the reason, for I have betrothed you to one husband or one person. And that was, of course, at their conversion, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that I may present you as a chaste or pure virgin to Christ Jesus, meaning the Lord at his coming. Paul says, I want to present you that way. Paul speaking here does so like a spiritual father, which he is. He founded the church there at Corinth. And just like any dad, you know what? You want to protect your daughters, amen? You want to protect your children. You don't want them to go out there and get into trouble. And that's what Paul is saying as well. He says, I'm jealous over you. I love you. I don't want someone to try to flirt with you, these false teachers. I don't want them to try to seduce you. Quit holding their hand, in other words. Don't let them drag you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't tolerate them. You know, the Bible says in Exodus 34:14, when God's speaking to the children of Israel, he says, I'm a jealous God. He says, I won't tolerate false suitors. I want all of your affection. You're not going to give it to other people. Amen? We're the children of God. God says, I'm not sharing you with anybody. I'm not sharing you with the world. You know, that's a good word for the church today because, see, we are the bride of Christ. And boy, there are many, many suitors out there that want you, that want your children, that want your marriage, that want your family. Amen? First of all, the first one, of course, is what? It's the world. Man, the world is constantly bombarding us. In other words, they're saying, oh, be friends with the world. Well, we know the Bible says in James 4:4, to be a friend of the world is to be in enmity with God. We're not friends with the world. We're not even of this world. Amen? Just like the song said, we're citizens in heaven. Praise God for that. No. So we have the world. Then we have the flesh. Oh, the flesh. Our flesh wants to seduce us. It wants to set the old man back on the throne of our hearts. And then, of course, we have the devil. But I'll get to that in a moment. So he speaks as that spiritual father to them, and he says this in verse 3. That's a key verse, by the way. He says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, and look how he did it, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Remember, the word corrupted means to go from a good state to a bad state. In other words, where the simplicity of Christ is being removed from the people there, the Christians at Corinth. So Paul warns them, and listen, loved one, he's warning us as well this morning. And boy, do we need to be warned today. He compares the church in Corinth as Eve in the garden. Think about that for a minute. Now, simplicity means this, singleness of heart, our singleness, our sincere devotion to only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But Eve, when she was in the garden, she broke that sincere devotion, didn't she? She transgressed what God told her not to do, not to eat of the tree of the good and evil and so forth. And there we know what happened. Listen, Satan did something in the garden. He brought forth and offered Eve a false gospel or another gospel. Remember, there he is in the tree, the tempter, he's hiding himself. He doesn't reveal himself. He's disguised, okay? He's talking to Eve. He says, you know, has God said? What'd God tell you? Well, we can't eat of that. No, if we do, we're going to die. Oh, Eve, let me give you the good news gospel, okay? My good news gospel. Oh, no, you'll not surely die. Oh, no, but in the day that you eat of that, your eyes will be opened. And you will be just like God. That's a good word, isn't it? Who doesn't want to be like God? But see, it was against the word of God. God said, listen, the day that you eat of that, you're going to die. Did Adam and Eve die? They died spiritually, didn't they? They were kicked out, if you will, removed from the Garden of Eden and so forth. Listen, Satan will use every means, and he is using so many means in this generation, it's sickening. It's so sickening to see what the Christian is paying today because of the cost of tolerance. He'll use anything he can to deceive you, in absolutely anything. He'll do anything to steal your devotion to Christ. From the moment that a Christian is born from above and filled with the Spirit of God, sealed with the Spirit of God, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what happens? Satan comes along every day, or the powers of darkness, or the spiritual host of wickedness, whichever. They come along to do what? They want to steal just one little area of your heart away from Jesus Christ. Listen, we are in a war, and we are in the greatest war right now that the church has ever been in. I say, oh, Lord, help us. I look at all the things that are happening, and just think at Corinth. There comes the devil's team. Man, they have invaded the church. They're right there in the church, and all they want to do is one thing. They just want to steal the simplicity, that devotion, that sincerity, that love for Jesus Christ and Him only. when we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul, and love our neighbor as ourself. Amen? The great commandment, which is part of the vision statement of this fellowship, this church. No, listen, and the reason that they were doing it or how they were doing it, look at verse 4. It says, for if he, meaning these false teachers, who comes, proclaims, or preaches another what? Another Jesus. Whom, well, we didn't proclaim this Jesus, but if they come and do so, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, meaning you didn't receive that from me when I preached there, when I was pastoring, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, here it is, you may well put up with it. There's that word. You may tolerate it. So what was Paul saying? Why in the world, why would a born-again, spirit-filled, all the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church of Corinth like they were, even though they were being abused, why would you tolerate, why would you put up with those who come into your midst, even here today, and proclaim to you another Jesus? Do you know that happens all over the world? Are you listening to me? How serious this word is this morning? Listen, loved one, you know what? There is only one Jesus Christ. There's not another Jesus. See, they were saying, if they were pointing to a man or another Jesus, it was just a man. It wasn't the God-man. It wasn't the God-man who came, who was born of a virgin, who was placed upon a tree and brutally murdered, and then placed in a tomb, who walked out and was raised from the dead and now is ascended to heaven. That's not the Jesus they're talking about. Do you understand? No. He says, no, that's not God, the God-man. He says, why would you tolerate a different spirit? Why would you receive that? In other words, a spirit that produces fear and not faith, or brings you back into bondage. In other words, the spirit of the world, whether you know it or not, that's not our spirit, but the spirit of the world enslaves an individual. No. And then he says, oh, watch this. Why would you tolerate good news that's not good news? Why would you receive and tolerate and welcome, you know, a different gospel? Now, what is that? It has to be bad news. It has to put you back under the law, take you away from grace. It has to make you work for salvation instead of receiving it as a gift from God. Amen? Oh, horrible things. Paul says, why did you do that? Why are you doing that? If that's you, Christian, why are you doing that? Why are you messing with things that are not true? Amen? Boy, stay away from that. No, Paul says, why do you tolerate them? So Paul says, why do you tolerate them instead of, why aren't you contending? Why aren't you contending for the faith? You know, Jude, the epistle of Jude, great study. Jude 3, he cries out this in the epistle. He says, I'm exhorting you to contend, not to be mean. The word contend doesn't mean to beat people up with God's word or be contentious. We are to speak the truth in love. He says, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, meaning the good news, the gospel, which was once delivered to all the saints, all of us. We are entrusted with God's holy word. Amen? He says, here it comes, and this is the reason why. For men, meaning the false teachers, the wolves in sheep's clothing, for men have crept in, meaning crept into the church. Listen now, and he uses a word, unnoticed. That word means to slip in secretly, like the side door. Just they come in and sit in. You don't know who they are. They come in secretly. And they're ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. Lewdness means a preoccupation with sex and lust and all the rest of it. And not only that, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. What happened then is happening today. You have these certain men. They're everywhere, all over the world, especially even in America. And what they do, they creep in. I like to use the word, when it says secretly, they secretly slithered in. Do you understand? Because they work for the snake. Does that make sense? Yeah, they slither in. And you know what? They slither out of the pew and they mingle with people. They slither up to the pulpit and they stand before the people of God. Sometimes they even slither out of the seminaries so they can go and destroy other people's lives. But man, to have them slither into the church is a dangerous, dangerous thing. You know why? Their motive is to change. Let me read it. Who turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness, who deny the only Lord God and Jesus Christ who can save us. Listen, to turn the word of God means to change the word of God or pervert the Word of God. In other words, to change what God's grace, His unmerited, unconditional, unearned, divine favor of God that rests upon every believer. Amen. They want to change that. Listen to me now. False teachers, then and today, they're of the devil. They'll never forget that. They're of the devil. They come to you. They come to your door. And they use the right words. They may even open the right Bible. But even though they use right words, heaven, Jesus, love, peace, joy, they don't have the same dictionary that we do. Does that make sense? You have to be so careful. And they come to change God's word, to pervert God's word, to pervert His grace. Listen to me. God's grace can be rejected, easily rejected. But God's grace will never change. Amen? Now, the church at Corinth, what they did, and as many churches today, you know, there's a church in Fort Worth. I'm not going to name it. I'm not going to name the pastor. I would love to walk into that church and say, why are you believing what you're believing? Where in the Word of God, this man that stands in that pulpit, and you're buying that, and he is giving you lies from hell. Do you understand? It hurts me. It hurts me because the truth sets you free, loved one. It doesn't put you in bondage. No, the church at Corinth, they practice tolerance, and oh, it cost them greatly. See, false teachers do something. They offer you substitutes. In other words, they'll say, you know what? Yeah, Jesus, but let me explain how Jesus is really a better Jesus, or I'm going to give you a better gospel. Listen, when anyone denies the Lord God, that is to make Jesus less than He is. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. You see, false teachers love, they'll raise up Jesus, but they're really trying to remove Him from the picture, the only one that can save man. Amen? That's what they do. See, the false teachers want you, then and now, to believe, oh, you know what? There are many ways to heaven. Come on, God is bigger than that. We only have a little bit of His word. No, we have enough. That's all we need. Jesus is enough. Amen? Now, no wonder Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. Listen to what he said about God's grace and a different gospel. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of God. Here it is, to a different gospel. Paul says, why are you deserting? Why are you turning away from the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that saved you? He says, for which is not another, meaning there's only one gospel, and we know that. Now here it comes. But there are some, meaning the false teachers, who trouble you and want to pervert, who want to change, who want to do damage to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it's today, Satan, the father of every lie, he wants you to have a legal relationship with God. He wants you to try to, okay, you can earn it. You can get closer to God by penance or this or that. No, listen to me. You know, a legal relationship with God is not what God wants. He wants a loving relationship, amen? God loves us. He loves you. No, you see, legalism is the stupidest thing a person can do. You know why? Because legalism is an attempt to change me, to change you. If I have all these rules, then I'll be better. No, you have to be born from above, amen? That's the only rule. Jesus be the Lord of my life, and He will change you because rules can't change the heart. He goes on, Paul writes, he says in Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him be set aside to perish in hell forever and ever and ever. And Paul goes again and repeats the same thing. Anathema, cut off from Christ forever and ever. Look back at verse 5 now. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Let me read the Amplified. I love it. The Amplified version says, he says, I am not at all inferior to these precious extra super apostles. He says, even though I'm untrained in speech, now that doesn't mean he was a poor speaker. Paul wasn't trained in oratory or Greek oratory, okay? He says, yet I'm not unskilled, or I'm not unskilled literally in knowledge. In other words, Paul says, let me tell you where I got my knowledge from. I received it in Arabia, remember? the Lord God taught him personally, direct revelation from Jesus Christ to Paul for those 3 years that he was in Arabia. Galatians 1 teaches us that. He says, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things, meaning the way we live before you. He says, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preach the gospel to you free of charge? Now listen, Paul was a tent maker, amen? And he served and he labored, we know how long, in Corinth for 1 year and 6 months. He never took anything from them. He didn't come like the false teachers are there to fleece the sheep. Okay, not feed the sheep. Well, they'll feed them lies, but they came in for the money. No, Paul, he came to win the city. He never took a dime from them. He came in not to fleece, but he came in to feed them and so forth. Was Paul, though, even though he received no remuneration, no any support, was he within his legal rights to receive support? Absolutely. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:18, do not muzzle out the ox that treads out the corn. The workman is worthy of his wages, the Bible says. Now, in verse 18, Paul says this, you know what I did? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, in other words, when I was hungry, when I had a need, when I needed money, I was a burden to no one. The false teachers, boy, they were a burden to that church, but they didn't believe that. He says, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. Remember the church at Macedonia, the Macedonian churches? Remember how they begged to give? And they did so, even in their midst of their deep poverty, they begged Paul to give to the suffering saints in Jerusalem. And they did so, it says, with much urgency. Man, there's a lot of Corinthians today. There's very few Macedonians, you know what I mean? What a glorious, wonderful heart they had. He says, oh, they helped me. He says, and in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and I will keep myself or continue to keep myself that way. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions or Arcadia. And the reason? Because I love you, and God knows. You know, 1.5 years of labor, Paul just said, you know what? It was a labor of love. I love each and every one of you, even though there's a pocket of you that sided with these demonic teachers. He says, I am jealous over you. I want to save you from what's going on. He says, not only that, I want to protect you, and I've never taken anything from you. The direct opposite of what the false teachers were doing. He says, but what I do, I will continue to do, that I may, here it is, cut off. That's a mean word, boy. Cut off. In other words, take it away, the opportunity from those, meaning the false teachers, who desire an opportunity to be regarded, watch this, just as we are in the things of which they boast. In other words, these false teachers, these demonic false teachers, they wanted to be on the same level as Paul and Peter and John, all the apostles. In other words, they wanted to be equal to them. They were boasting about their equality. And Paul says, there's no way. They're leeches, they're parasites. And not only that, you know what I would have told them? If you want to be an apostle, which you couldn't be anyway, but if you want to, why don't you suffer like one? In other words, when we get over to the next Sunday, we'll see what Paul suffered for Christ's sake. Amen? Now, for such are, watch this now, for such are false apostles, pseudo-apostles, and not only that, they're deceitful workers. They pretend to work for the Lord, and they don't. It says, and they do something. They transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They want, again, to be equal with James, Peter, John, and Paul, and so forth. But listen to me. They're not ambassadors of Christ. They're ambassadors of Satan. They're not endued with power from on high. They're energized from below. They're energized in their flesh by the wicked one. Listen, what were they doing? The same thing that is happening today. They were offering the Christians who had been incredibly well taught, Apollos, Cephas, remember, and also Paul. Think of the great teachers that they heard and that they were under for that 1.5 years. But you know what these false teachers were doing? They were offering the Christians at Corinth the same thing they do today. They were offering them a life that is superior to the life that is found in the New Testament.
Well, we are out of time for this broadcast, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for beginning your week with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.